When Angela Merkel stood before cheering crowds at the Brandenburg Gate during the 2014 World Cup celebrations, she embodied a profound national transformation. Germany had evolved from Europe's greatest threat into its stabilizing anchor. Unlike nations that construct triumphant historical narratives, Germany has embraced what historians call Vergangenheitsbewältigung, the ongoing process of coming to terms with the past. This history is so damaged that it cannot be repaired, but rather must be constantly revisited through education, art, and public spaces. Four profound traumas have shaped German consciousness: the devastating 30 Years' War that killed nearly a third of the population, Napoleon's humiliating occupation that dissolved the Holy Roman Empire, the Third Reich's unprecedented crimes against humanity, and Germany's post-war division. While Paris celebrates with the Arc de Triomphe and London with Marble Arch, Munich's Siegestor tells a different story, its bomb-damaged south side deliberately left unrestored after World War II, with the inscription, "Dedicated to victory, destroyed by war, urging peace." What other nation so consistently erects monuments to its own shame? Near the Brandenburg Gate stands the memorial to the murdered Jews of Europe. Throughout German cities, Stolpersteine, stumbling stones, embedded in sidewalks, commemorate victims of Nazi persecution. This architectural honesty extends beyond mere symbolism. It's a physical manifestation of national reflection that makes Germany's relationship with history uniquely instructive for our divided world. Prague, Praha, and Königsberg, Kaliningrad, represent phantom limbs of German cultural memory, cities once vital to German identity but no longer German-speaking. Prague, home to the first German-speaking university, Charles University, 1348, became the intellectual capital of the German world under Emperor Rudolf II around 1600. Franz Kafka witnessed its transition from German to Czech dominance, and after 1945, the city's 700-year German presence ended with the expulsion of 3 million German speakers. Königsberg, birthplace of philosopher Immanuel Kant, marked the easternmost outpost of the German-speaking world since its founding in 1254. After World War II, the city was devastated, its German population replaced by Soviet citizens. Renamed Kaliningrad, nearly all traces of German heritage were erased, though its university now bears Kant's name. These lost capitals maintain connections with Germany through tourism and trade, illustrating how German identity transcends modern borders through language, philosophy, and cultural memory. Thomas Mann called German his true homeland, wahre Heimat. This unity of written German across dialects stems largely from Luther's influence. Luther's 95 Theses, originally in Latin, spread rapidly through Germany's printing shops after translation. When ordered to recant before Emperor Charles V, he declared, "Here I stand, I can do no other." Declared a heretic, he found refuge at Wartburg Castle. There, Luther completed his German New Testament in 11 weeks. Despite claims that German was too crude for scripture, he created text both sacred and accessible, drawing from the mother at home, the children in the street, the common man in the market. Luther's Bible sold 500,000 copies across Germany's divided linguistic landscape. His translation established a common language, introducing enduring phrases like Sündenbock, scapegoat, and Herzenslust, heart's content. Through this work, Luther gave Germans a unified language that became central to their national identity, long before political unity. The Brothers Grimm's fairy tales reflect German national identity through forest settings, echoing the Teutonburg Forest, where Hermann's victory over Rome in AD 9 established the Rhine frontier. When Napoleon occupied Germany in the early 1800s, forests became symbols of resistance. The Grimm's Kinder und Hausmärchen, 1812, wasn't merely children's stories. It preserved German language and identity, remaining influential today. German art embraced this symbolism, notably in Caspar David Friedrich's Der einsame Baum, where a resilient oak shelters shepherd and flock, symbolizing German endurance. Resistance fighters, like Hermann's warriors before them, used forests against Napoleon. The oak became an enduring national symbol, appearing on the Iron Cross and post-1945 coins. Through forest imagery, from Friedrich's paintings to Grimm's Dark Woods, Germans forged a cultural identity beyond political boundaries, later manifested in 19th century reforestation efforts. Germans are one nation under Goethe. The iconic Tischbein portrait shows the writer who, through Faust, became central to German identity. Alongside Luther's language and fairy tales, Goethe elevated German literature to European prominence. Born wealthy in Frankfurt in 1749, Goethe left law for poetry during university. Finding literary German too artificial, he drew from Shakespeare to express authentic German emotion. His first major work, The Sorrows of Young Werther, 1774, became a European sensation. Even Napoleon carried it to Egypt. At 37, amid crisis, Goethe journeyed to Rome, where Tischbein painted him among Roman ruins with a German oak nearby, symbolizing new life from ancient culture. His masterwork, Faust, about a man's devil's bargain to explore life's depths, became inseparable from German identity. For modern Germans, Goethe transcends even this. His West-Eastern Divan poems speak to German Muslims, while many see him as a model for turning struggle into purpose. While Ludwig's Walhalla never captured national sentiment, his Munich Oktoberfest, created in 1810, became Germany's most recognizable cultural festival. Germans' love for beer, documented by Tacitus around AD 100, spans two millennia. German sausages exemplify regional diversity through 1,200 varieties. Bavaria's Weisswurst, eaten before noon, Nuremberg's spiced finger sausages, and Frankfurt's Frankfurters each reflect distinct traditions. Frankfurt's Rindswurst, made with beef for Jewish residents, shows how local communities shaped culinary customs. Berlin's currywurst emerged when post-war British curry powder transformed ordinary sausages into iconic street food. Despite initial criticism as a gourmet tragedy, it became a symbol of modern Berlin. Though beer consumption has declined, Germany remains the world's third largest consumer. Young generations embrace these culinary traditions without past nationalist overtones, evident at Oktoberfest, where traditional Bavarian dress is now worn freely. Germany's food landscape mirrors its historical structure. Like the Holy Roman Empire's territories, regional specialties coexist within the national identity. The Reichstag building embodies Germany's journey from empire to democracy. Built in the 1880s as imperial parliament, it witnessed the Weimar Republic's birth, the 1933 fire enabling Hitler's rise, and World War II damage, culminating with Soviet forces raising their flag in 1945. Post-reunification, Christo and Jean-Claude's 1995 silver wrapping helped Germans reimagine the structure. Norman Foster's renovation preserved historical scars while adding a glass dome where citizens observe parliament, symbolizing democratic transparency. Surrounding memorials to Nazi victims, including the Holocaust Memorial and monuments to disabled people, homosexuals, and Sinti and Roma, remind passing parliamentarians of Germany's commitment to historical accountability. As Christopher Clark notes, the guilt is internalized and becomes part of the German national identity. This transformation reflects Germany's broader evolution, converting a difficult past into strength through honest confrontation. The nation pioneers a patriotism based on truthful reckoning rather than triumphalism, demonstrating how societies can transform historical trauma into wisdom.